You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into Agribusiness Innovations live on Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning to Mr. Jody White and the rest of his panel today. Good morning.
Morning, Tosca. Trinidad, of course, welcome to Agribusiness Innovation. Another week, another great lineup of guests. Joining us today, some representatives from the Trinidad Tobago Chamber of Industry and Commerce. I have Miss Vashti Gaidin and Miss Aisha Stewart. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jody. Thanks for having us.
Now, the Chamber has been very, 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 very busy advancing the interests of an ever-evolving business climate. And one of those things that you're having this year is the Catalyst event. So, I mean, tell us a little bit more about what is happening there.
Sure. So this is the second year that we are hosting this event. And most people, when they think about the Trinidad and Tobago Chamber, they think about big business. But here's what. 70% of our membership comes from the small and medium-sized enterprises sector. So this conference has been specifically designed for SMEs. And how did we go about conceptualizing this? Because we conducted some research about 2 to 3 years ago, and we are attempting to address the core challenges impacting SMEs, because we want SMEs to move from small to medium, from medium to large. So this, we started a discussion last year. And Jody, more importantly, why are we carrying it into year two? Because again, coming out from the participants from last year, whereby we had roughly 400 participants. And they said, why don't you create a community so that we have like-minded persons that we can draw upon? And this is exactly what we are attempting to do here. Like anything else, if you go to school, you need to retool. So this is the idea of building a community of like-minded persons whereby they would share their experiences and learn from each other.
I have somebody messaging here to ask, how exactly would we define an SME?
Aisha.
So there are several definitions of SME, but the one that we use actually is the one that CPSO uses. Now that we have micro...
CSO.
CSO, my gosh. CSO users. So we have something, we have micro, which is very, even smaller than SMEs, and then we have small and medium enterprises. So the definition the CSO uses is that it is beneath the revenue is not beneath $1 million, and it comprises of 1 to 4 persons. And of course you have even micro beneath that, which is a solopreneur, so it's one person, and revenue even beneath that, so 250,000. That's normally how we would define our definition of SMEs.
Right. No, I mean, SMEs really and truly are often described as the backbone of the economy. And, you know, a lot of times SMEs still struggle to survive beyond just a few years. From the Chamber's perspective, what are some of the biggest barriers then that are holding SMEs back right now?
So, Jody, number one is access to financing. So, hence the reason why, if you would look at our agenda for the 2 days, we are addressing that issue in panel one. And this one of the second issues, which we have not spoken much about, it is building what I call an exporter's mindset, because we want these businesses to scale and, more importantly, expand into new markets. And how we would say, you would hear the old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a community to build an exporter. So again, I have to go back to my first point about creating that community of like-minded persons. So hence the reason why this community exists, so that people can learn from each other. So let's say that I want to enter, Aisha is planning to enter the Costa Rican market. We would have persons who have tried to enter the Costa Rican market. So connect to these people, hear about their learnings, their feelings. And you can learn and learn from them and not make the same mistakes that they make.
I would honestly say as a small, when the company is a lot smaller, you always feel as if when you make a mistake, it only happens to you. You'll feel as if it's your shortcomings as a small business making these mistakes. And when, like I was at Catalyst last year, right? And when you heard some of these larger businesses talk about their experiences, it makes you feel as if, you know what, I'm not alone. It makes you feel less pressure on yourself that, you know what, these larger companies also grow through these struggles. These larger companies that are better equipped also have these troubles, also sometimes make these mistakes, encounter the same problems, and it really makes you not feel alone and isolated. Yes,
exactly. And actually, that's actually where we built a program that we run called Success Leaves Clues, because we wanted to share with our SMEs and all our members some of the learnings that bigger, more established businessmen would have gone through. We actually had a session recently with Kamal Miraj, who's our Minister of Trade, and he would have gone through, he discussed all of the mistakes he made. And that actually, the reason we came up with the event actually came out of Catalyst last year, from that desire to have community, to learn from others, the failings and also the successes, and learn how to be bold and all those things. So that's actually what we try to do at the Chamber, is really give people value. We really want to give our members value, so that when they go to something, it's just not a talk shop, but it's something that we can build upon.
And Jody, join on what Aisha just stated there. It's that networking. So you come to Catalyst, you are going to meet the decision makers. You are going to meet, because we focus in on agriculture and cultural and creative industries, you're going to find people from those sectors. You're also going to interact with ambassadors. So it is the net, you hear again, network is your net worth. So you have that opportunity to connect for 2 days. And then I will ask Aisha to also expand on what we are doing on the 14th, which happens to be the Chamber's 147th anniversary, whereby we are hosting for the first time a pop-up shop and B2B meetings there.
Yeah, so as Rashi was saying, a part of one of the special things that came out of last year's SME conference is that there was a desire to have more practical experience and practical engagements. So we decided to have a pop-up shop, which is an opportunity for our SMEs to come and to have a space where they can sell. Because as you would know, Judy, one of the bigger challenges for an SME is getting spaces to be in front of your customer. Beyond having your online business, but getting that retail space, that opportunity to be in front of your customer. So we wanted to give them that type of opportunity through a pop-up shop. It's taking place on Saturday, 14th. It starts at 9 and it ends at 6. And we also have B2B meetings with distributors for our SMEs to be able to actually get in front of distributors and have wholesale buying decisions. Because, of course, it's wonderful to connect with your consumers, and that's really important. But there's also another element of doing business as an SME, and that is really connecting to business-to-business relationships and getting into distribution channels. And particularly with some of the partners that we have on board, we have Massey on board, we have Hadco on board. Some of those partners also have regional linkages. So we hope to give them the opportunity to be in front of buyers who are ready to buy, as well as have regional linkages.
I'm curious, how excited are these? Because these are very large buyers that you're mentioning. And some of these companies sometimes are small but ambitious. Have yes. A lot of potential, good products, just need that level of support to continue further. How excited are these larger distributors and companies usually to interact with these smaller companies and do business with them?
Well, the companies that we chose specifically because they have a lot of channels with SMEs. So Hadco, Massey, we even have Pennywise on board. They tend to, they have a lot of actual small businesses in their stores. You give them Pennywise, you see the creams and the soaps from some of our SMEs. And so they are not only familiar with dealing with SMEs, but they've also created a space and a platform for them. So the feedback we've gotten actually is that they are very interested and engaged. They're all sending decision makers, which says a lot, because of course it's on a Saturday, it's not during the week. So they are sending decision makers. So that shows a level of engagement. And also we are doing some training on the first day of the conference. We're having a small session called, it's, Vashi, can you remind me of the name?
Sure, actually, Julie,
crack the code,
give us some details on your session as well.
Yeah.
So we have Pop Up Like a Boss with Kiba.
And yes. And then we have one with the buyers. So to teach SMEs, just to ensure that they understand how to have buying conversations, because selling to a consumer is very different from selling to a retailer and a buyer. And the type of pricing and the conversations you have to have is going to be different. So we're actually going to walk through the SMEs through that process.
You know, this brings me back to some of the very large companies in Trinidad started off much smaller.
Yes.
And I went to a location to purchase supplies last week. And every single week that I go to the cashier, and through the glass, I see one of the business owners. And I went a couple days later, and there is this business owner sitting in the cashier's chair, cashing. And I looked at him and I said, okay, I was wondering if maybe he was just sitting there doing something quickly to leave. And he looked at me and said, no, today I'm cashing. There's a very, very, very big company here. Mm-hmm. And he said, listen, I started so small and I know every single thing in this company. And by a stroke of bad luck, I don't have someone in this position today. But because I am so familiar, having gone through the pains of growing, I could act in this role here today without an issue. So, I mean, this just shows you know, companies do grow and do get bigger here, you know, quite easily. So, you know, there are a lot of programs that are launched for SMEs. And sometimes entrepreneurs say that they struggle to access them. How accessible is this event for SMEs?
Well, go
ahead. Okay, so I show you go.
I think this event is extremely accessible for SMEs. We on our social media pages as well as our website, there is information to sign up and register.
The cost is very affordable.
Yes. The pop-up as well, the cost is very, very affordable. It's $200 for chamber members and $350 for non-chamber members. We try to be as reasonable as possible because we want to ensure that our SMEs are able to attend, that the room is filled with SMEs who are in the practice of business.
Now, a business seeking to grow then has a number of ways that they can participate in this event. What are then some of the tangible outcomes would you say that people could realistically expect? Maybe things like new markets, financing opportunities, mentorships, or something else?
It's all that you listed, yeah. But Judy, more importantly, you have to do the work. So I don't want people to walk away and say that you come to this event and you are walking away with X, Y, and Z. We are providing the opportunity, the forum for you to connect to like-minded persons, to connect to ambassadors from priority markets, to also give you the opportunity to retool, to learn what are the new trends, the global regional trends, so that you could go back and you could say, you know what, I can maybe... there is this problem that is happening in St. Lucia. Why don't I see if I can solve this problem? Because that's how you create sustainable businesses, when you solve problems. So it is a forum whereby you network, you connect, you learn about key global trends, regional trends, and how you can ensure that your business is sustainable.
So people who come into this event, there are a number of ways, the lectures, the pop-ups, business cards. What else should somebody bring with them? Maybe brochures on the companies. What should people bring with them to be very well prepared to take advantage of it?
Most people nowadays, they have digital content. You, they give you, you scan the QR code on from their phone and you have information. So that's the way to go. Again, if you have your business cards and you have a brochure, you're not paperless, yes, work with those things. And Gabriella is going to be doing a session. Let me get it right. It's crack the buyer code. And she's going to give tips about how exactly you can break into that buyer's mood. And these are the things that we want people to walk away with, because we know that Trinidadians are resilient people. But one of our shortcomings is that we do not know how to sell and market ourselves. So this is one of the, you asked, your first question, it was, what are the challenges impacting SMEs? Why don't we scale? And this is one of the areas that we realized that our members needed assistance with. Hence the reason why it's on the agenda.
No, I think you mentioned this before with agriculture and creative, but just to make sure, this initiative, it targets specific sectors that have growth potential, or is it just meant to support businesses across the board?
All right. So we have some foundation blocks for SMEs in terms of looking at the financing issues. But we are at a stage where we need to diversify. And I don't like to use the term diversify. We need to look at new revenue streams. So what are those new revenue streams? Because time, we do not have the luxury of time anymore. So we are focusing on two sectors that has been identified as growth pools, that has export potential. And that's one in terms of agriculture, in terms of food security, and the cultural and creative industries. These are sectors that has the global market share of these, value of these sectors, US trillion dollar industries. So just think about it. If we were to say that we're going to have 50 firms to grow 50 SMEs per sector, and in the next 3 to 5 years, we aim to grab 0.05 of the global market share of trillion dollar industries. Just imagine what this is going to do in terms of transforming the economy of Trinidad and Tobago, in terms of job creation, in terms of earning foreign exchange. And this is exactly what we are attempting to do here. So it's looking at the macro environment and then breaking down it into at the firm level.
Completely understand. So now, I guess what we touched on before is that one of the challenges really is not starting, because a lot of us are excited to start a new business. Scaling is where teething challenges really come in. So moving companies from small operations to sustainable growing enterprises, how does being a member of the chamber in general and events such as these help companies become that?
So I think I can speak to the event, and then I'm sure Vashti will add on about the chamber in general. So in terms of this event, one of the major things that you need when you're trying to scale is understanding your numbers, your metrics, because that is what really helps you to plan accordingly. To understand your customers, what are your customers' preferences, when do they buy, when do they not buy, who are your customers, and also how do you grow your business. And one of the sessions that we're going to have actually is called Mind Your Business. mine, like mine. So it's about data mining and understanding. So many, many SMEs, all of us produce so much data, so much content, and many SMEs have data just kind of rolling around. They have websites that have backends, which there's a lot of data there. There are the ways they do invoices that has a lot of data captured. But the problem is turning that data into actual intelligence. And that's really what we want to do, help our SMEs do. And that really helps you to scale, because then you can start planning, and then you can start forecasting, and then you can start rolling out different plans for your business. So that is one of the real ways that we are really helping them to scale and to become bigger. And also, as Vashti had mentioned earlier, the networking opportunities, the ability to connect with not only persons in your sector, but also persons in various other sectors to connect with bankers. We're going to have our financial panel has several investors in it. We have the session with you, Jody, where you're going to talk about how to become investment ready so that people are able to invest in your business so that you can grow your business. So in terms of the conference, there's a lot of things that we've thought about the SME experience. We've collected a lot of information through our surveys. We've conducted multiple surveys over the course of this last year alone. So we really gathered that information. We too are turning that data into intelligence so that we can help our members.
Definitely. Now, the chamber, does it have a minimum size that someone has to be in order to be a member?
No, we have a category which is called bronze membership. So it could be an individual.
So what about if somebody does not manufacture something? If somebody is like has a real estate business, would they qualify to be a member of the chamber?
That's a good question, Judy, because not only are we the oldest and largest business support organization in the country, but we are the only business support organization that covers all economic sectors. So, and I said 70% of our membership are drawn from the SME sector, and just about 55% of our membership comes from the services sectors, which includes real estate.
So someone wanting then to become a member, what is the first step?
We have a membership officer, actually. So normally they will contact us. They can contact us online. People contact us through our social media. They contact us in a variety of ways. And what that all leads to is an engagement with our membership officer, who is lovely. Her name is Anastasia Green, and she walks you through the process. She will take you through all of the steps required to become a chamber member. So because we understand that we have members of all varieties, as Vash was saying, large and small. So we want to make sure that it's a handheld, customized experience for each business.
Now, as the world evolves, some companies left behind because people are unable to adjust themselves digitally. So using technology and digital transformation, are you seeing a trend of local SMEs keeping up? Or do you still see that there is a gap?
Because we represent a diverse range of sectors, I would have to say that it depends on the sector. And definitely there are gaps. So there are some sectors that are much more advanced than others. So hence the reason why we need to drill deeper down and find out exactly how we need to help these businesses in those sectors. The financial sector, those are mature industries, so they are pretty advanced as opposed to high-touch sectors, which include spa and cosmetics, beauty, the beauty industry.
Excellent. Now, I know we are coming up on to 10:30, and Vashti, I know that you have one of those background networking meetings to get to. Aisha, are you staying on with us or do you have to head out as well?
I probably can stay on for a few minutes as Vashti has to head out. Is that?
Yeah, yes. That's perfect.
Yeah. But I'm also will be in the same meeting as she is, but I can stay on for a few minutes.
All right, great. So here's what. How about then, Vashti, to allow you the time to move forward, because I know you're very, very busy. You have any closing remarks from you for our listeners? I will drop into a break afterwards.
Sure. So I would have really liked to get some comments from your listeners. But yesterday I was actually on LinkedIn and I was strolling. I saw this article that spoke about storytelling. And interestingly, it never impacted on me because I grew up with a father who was a teacher. And my dad, when he was a primary school teacher, and he had this, I would say he had this gift of telling stories. And I didn't realize the importance of learning from stories. And because storytelling is something that it's easier than going to a lecture, and it's relatable. And this is exactly what we are trying to do with Catalyst and Success Leaves Clues, because we have icons of industry coming together. We have people who have tried and failed coming to tell their story. Practical examples, their lived experiences. So this is an opportunity for people who are in business, also people who want to open a business, people who want to grow their business, to come and learn and interact with us over the next 2 days. It's happening on March the 11th and 12th. So we look forward to seeing you all on Wednesday and Tuesday. And come line with us. We're in West Lawrence. It's a nice environment.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, Tosca. I think we can jump onto a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we have just about 15 minutes left in today's show.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
And now we return to Agribusiness Innovations with Mr. Jody White.
And we are, of course, back here with you guys. Happy to be here every Thursday. Now, if we revisit Catalyst in 2026, in a few years, I mean, what are some of the outcomes you think the public would have seen that would say that the program was truly successful?
One of the big outcomes that I would love to see is that a few SMEs that would have attended our event to break into that distribution retail space, selling to some of our buyers. I think that will be a great success. And if they're able to not only sell the first time, but successfully do so, especially through the learning that they would have acquired on how to price and how to engage with buyers, I think that will be a tremendous success. Because one of the real bottlenecks for the scaling of an SME is actually moving away, is transitioning your business to having multiple modes of engagement and multiple modes of customers, when you rather not just relying on B2C, so just interfacing with your customers, but also interfacing with buyers. It helps your business to become more robust. It also helps your business to have multiple lines of finance. So we really, that will be one of the greater ones we would love to see. We'd also like to see that we will be engaged in more pop-ups, because we really heard from our membership the need to have spaces where they can engage with their customers. You know, rent is very, very expensive in Trinidad in many places. We are conveniently located. There's parking. So there's a real potential for us to grow that area. So that's something we'd love to see. We also love to see, coming out of these sessions, more focus on financing for SMEs, which is what the first panel is about. And the second one is also about really understanding your data. I truly believe that really turning data from having and collecting data, but turning that data into intelligence is a growth path for many of our SMEs. We get able to not just live in the day-to-day, the outing fires, but to really become strategic thinkers and to move from planning based on emergency to planning based on strategy.
You know what? Something we did not mention, because somebody now messaging to ask, mm-hmm. where's the event taking place?
The event is taking place at the TT Chamber. That is in West Moorings, number three Columbus Circle, West Moorings. It is conveniently right behind the Guardian Life building, next to RBC. If you're from the West, you know where it is. That's where it's taking place.
And could you run us through the dates and what is the lineup, or what are some of the events happening every day?
Okay, so the first day is Wednesday, the 11th of March. We're starting off actually with our Minister of Trade is very passionate. As you know, he's a businessman at heart. That's where he started off. That's his DNA. And he's very passionate about having a buy local campaign. As we know, foreign exchange and has become a serious issue in Trinidad, but also the purchasing of local products. So he has a buy local campaign in the chamber, and some of the member companies are officially signing on to that campaign on the first day of the conference. So that's how it's going to start. The minister is going to speak, and then the chamber and some of its members are signing on to that buy local charter. And the charter is really about encouraging buying local, encouraging purchasing of local items, encouraging pride in not only our consumers in buying local, but in our business people in representing Trinidad and Tobago well. After that, we have a session talking about the bankability of SMEs. And we have at that session, it's going to be moderated by Dr. Christian Stone, who is our vice president, but also, and I think more relevant to this discussion, he's the CEO of Team Finance. It also includes Dr. Rebecca Vidal, who is from CAF. She's a senior director, and CAF is the Bank of Latin America. We have someone from the CEO of Aspire Fund Management Solutions, and actually they have a program called C15, and that C15 solution has been really instrumental for a lot of SMEs, particularly in the creative sector. As you would know, particularly as a service provider, it's hard to get working capital because you don't have anything for collateral. And the C15 instrument has been really vital in helping a lot of persons in that creative sector really get some working capital, short-term capital financing. So the CEO of the entire group of companies is going to be speaking, and he has a lot of knowledge in that. And that is something he's very, very passionate about. We also have, of course, as we discussed, we're going to focus on the agriculture sector. That's a session moderated by Dr. Lorraine Ferguson. And then coming through that, we also have the Mind Your Business section, where we talk about turning your data into intelligence. And finally, on the first day, we have the session on teaching persons how to interface with buyers. So cracking the bias code. So that's the first day. So the first day is really about connecting with the practical issues that our SMEs face. And also, but it's not just about going and talking about it, but really providing solutions. How do you take the data that you have and turn it into intelligence? How do you interface with a buyer? We really want to be practical so that persons can leave here with a kind of playbook, a handbook of what they need to do. The second day, we start off with the creative industries. So we're going to focus on the creative industry spotlight, and that's moderated by Kiran Maraj, who is our immediate past president. And then we move into a whole panel around family business. Because as you would know, Judy, and as we all know in living in Trinidad, one of the major pivotal areas for SMEs, many of them are family businesses. And the idea of working with your family, we could love them a lot, but working with your family adds stresses and strains onto your business, different styles, different generational perspectives. So we really wanted to have a panel discussion looking at persons who are first and second generation family-owned businesses, who work with their family, who have actually built on their family's legacies. So we have Dr. Stephanie Young Nehemiah, who owns Relax Med Aesthetic, but actually she started off as a dentist working with her dad in Relax Dental. We also have Edmund Aboud, who is from Adams Bagels, who is the co-owner of Adams Bagels, and he and his father work together every day in that company, and he's been raised in the company. as well as we have Roger Roach, who we all know, Langston Roach, and he's come out of that. Of course, he has his own apparel company called Laziri Apparel, but he's also going to be in that panel. And then we have someone I like to call the guru of family business. This is Dr. Annette Rahal. She has worked, she's lived it, and she's worked with helping businesses to really navigate the waters of having a family business. Things like succession planning, which needs to be done when you have a family business. Things like how do you operate well, coming up with SOPs and all those things. So we're really going to go into that in that session. And of course, after that, we have the session with yourself, Jody, where we're going to be talking to our SMEs on how to present before investors. We talk a lot about the need for financing, but the other side of it is that we need to be prepared when we have discussions with investors. We need to know how to pitch. We need to know what are the selling points of our business? What is our value proposition? So all those things we're going to talk about in your session. And then finally, the last session for the day is how to pop up like a boss. And we have a gentleman called Keegan Simon, and he owns a brand called Individual Aesthetic. And I promise you, Keegan pops up, he must do more than 50 pop-ups a year. He is really efficient at it. Not only does he do pop-ups, he does it with excellence, and it translates into sales because of his eye for detail. So we want to share that with our SMEs, because everything we want to do here is not to be a talk shop, but to really move towards action. We want our SMEs to grow, to scale, to become exporters. And that's the mindset we had. And of course, we have the pop-up on the Saturday. So everyone is welcome. It's free to attend. And we have the B2B meetings.
Great. So there is very much a lot of these that are coming through. Do you still have spots open for people to register for this pop-up?
Yes, we have spots open for the pop-up, but they are going quickly. So I would suggest that you contact us, and you can contact us. You can contact me at AishaAStewart@chamber.org.tt, and I will gladly funnel you to the persons that you need to go to. So pop-ups, that is definitely filling up. There's also spots in the conferences, which is filling up. There's day passes, and then there is two-day passes, because we understand that SMEs, sometimes you're a solo entrepreneur and you can't really leave your business for 2 days, so we have day passes in recognition of that. And the B2B meetings, those are going to be kind of more selective, because we want to ensure that the best SMEs meet the buyers. So those for that, you sign up, and then I will interface with you and we'll have a discussion on that. Just because we really want to make sure that the SMEs are ready for that type of opportunity, because not everybody's ready for that.
The smaller companies who are attending these meetings, you know, you sometimes just want to brush shoulders with people who have done it already, maybe get some ideas, get some inspiration. The larger companies, the people who have done it already at these events, should people be afraid to approach people in these networking situations, or how open are people usually to speak with the smaller companies?
I will tell you, and I've had different discussions on for very various things that the chamber is involved with, there is always an eagerness to speak to young entrepreneurs. Particularly from older entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs who have been at it for a long time. When we had Minister Miraj for Success Leaves Clues, he came as Kama Miraj, the business owner. And that was actually, he wrote a book, and that was the point of the book, to give a blueprint to help persons so they don't have to go through the same mistakes. He literally, because I saw him, he stayed back and spoke to people for about 2 hours, about an hour and a half, really engaging with people, because that is something he enjoyed. But not only him, there were other, actually, at that meeting, we had several of our champions of business attend. So those are persons who have received various awards, and they were also engaging with SMEs. It is completely okay to walk up to a person, to engage with them. They love discussing their business. I mean, as a business person, you are an SME, as a business person, you know that you love talking about your business. So an older business person also loves talking about their business. And they also love talking about the things that they went through, the experiences that they had. That's something they thrive on, and something that we at the chamber really want to encourage for our membership.
You know, I think it's something to look forward to. I think networking events, a lot of people underestimate the power of them, the connections that you make. You're never too sure who's going to be there, but you always end up meeting somebody who can definitely help you at some point in time along the way. Most people are eager to make a connection.
Yes.
I would say that for people who are attending, make sure you have details on hand ready to exchange with people. Business cards, LinkedIn profiles, use technology. Most people, of course, have a lot of people who are interacting with them on the day. So the elevator pitch, you're not necessarily trying to sell something on the spot, but they're looking for an opening conversation with somebody that can then be continued another day. So just be prepared to say, hey, I want to touch base with you. Could we talk another time? Because, you know, people are busy. And use the tools that you have at your disposal. Send them an email by the next day introducing yourself.
Exactly. Yes.
Connect with them on LinkedIn. And then gradually continue the conversations.
So that's actually something that I wanted to mention. Follow up. Make sure and follow up.
But what I also want to say is, before you take this further, most of these more established business people in certain positions are very busy, and they don't want to enter just a broad, open-ended conversation. They need to know, what are you specifically looking for out of the interaction with them? So if you are looking to approach somebody, don't just approach them because you think that they're famous or they're popular or they're in a position. You need to really have some sort of an ask or some sort of a specific reason of an outcome then in the end. So even if you're on site, you see somebody, you're not too sure, you just figured, hey, maybe this might be useful at some point. Kind of define that in your head before you approach them, and that usually makes the whole conversation a lot more efficient. Not that, hey, I don't mind talking to you on a later date and let me see what happened now. You need to kind of be a bit more specific if you want to be more successful.
Yes, agreed. Oh, guys. So Jody, unfortunately, my 11 a.m.
Yes, I'm not going to say that.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we want to thank you very much for jumping on again. And of course, to our listeners, I'm very sure you're going to be hearing a lot more from us from this event. So Aisha, thank you so much. We're going to jump into a quick commercial break.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And now we return to Agribusiness Innovations with Mr. Jody White.
And we are back. And this is the tail end on the conversation. So to our listeners, yes, we do have some tickets for the Catalyst event to be given away. We just need to structure it a little bit with the studio, and of course you can look forward to that. It is something that, I mean, these business events, if you are into business, if your kids are into business, definitely something that would be handy. As I kind of go back into what I was talking about before, when as smaller companies, we go into these events, we see people who maybe we have been seeing on TV, we know they're in certain positions. Really make sure that you define what it is you want out of the interaction. And most people are less eager to follow up more with you unless they know exactly what they're looking for. And many people, based on what you're asking, if they are not the right person for it, they are very much willing to introduce you to the persons who are in the proper positions to get you the outcomes that they're looking for. So before you enter something like this or any other event, just sit down and draft what is the gap that you want people to help you fill, and then move forward. When you get to these events, of course, this may seem like an assumption, but you can never be too overdressed. Proper business attire. Go in looking to sell yourself. Try not to go in looking you know, for smaller businesses, oftentimes people will go in a sneaker and a jeans. That's not what they want. Any sort of a business situation, you need to look professional. People who are looking to do business with you, especially larger companies, want to know that this is a proper organization. Things are in place. We could partner together. Make sure you have all the ducks in a row. Make sure that you're prepared and that you execute everything professionally. And you never know what could happen. So, Tosca, this brings me near to the end of our show for today. So, listeners, of course, we had the representatives from the Trinidad Tobago Chamber of Industry and Commerce on our program, not strangers to our program by any means whatsoever. Look forward to continued activities that the Chamber is having. Participate if you are into business and follow if you're just the general public looking to see what is happening. Next week, of course, we have another installment of this show. Last week, I turned 39. I've been in business since the age of, I think, 23. So it's been a long journey. To all of the listeners who have reached out to me in between to wish me well wishes, I thank you so much. Looking forward to another few years. Tosca, you know, one more thing before I go. I have been part of Guardian Media as a contributor for the last 11 years.
Wow.
Stretching television, radio, and even newspaper. So I've been part of the family for a long while, and I hope to be here for a long while longer.
Well, happy belated to you, and congratulations on that milestone.
I know, it's only when I look back I saw. All right, that's it for me.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll be here again. Tune into the social media channels to see who I'll have on. Take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.